I just want you to know that I'm sorry.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode. Today, we're actually going to be doing something a little bit different and probably a lot overdue. So we're going to actually be opening up the mic to a conversation about something that normally nearly doesn't happen enough, and that is men's mental health.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
Yes. So often the men we love, our partners, our fathers, our sons, all those different things carry a lot of pain and silence. And they're taught to be what? Strong, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So with that, to be providers, to hold it together. But rarely they're asked, how are you really?
And it's really hard because I feel like they kind of shell up when you ask that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's something that we really should dive in and talk about because I know that females are not the only people who listen to our podcast.
No, they're not.
So I think that it's very important to talk about this.
Absolutely. So today we're going to sit down with someone who's lived it. And we have the honor today. We have a special guest on the show. We are interviewing my fiance, Eric.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
How are you?
I'm good.
We have things to talk to you about.
I should have said I'm fine because that's pretty much what all men say.
It's very true. This is very true.
It's our favorite saying, I think.
It is.
So I know we've talked to you. Well, not talk to you, but we've talked about you on the podcast. Some people may know you, but I would like for our audience to be introduced to Eric himself. I'm not sure what you heard in your head when we talk about Eric, but I tell you what, he sounds like this.
Yeah, everybody says it sounds like I got marbles in my mouth. That's true. Straight out of cornbread country, you know?
Cornbread. All right, so I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, I'm Eric.
Hi, Eric.
I'm just kidding. I'm not.
No. This is like an AA meeting.
I almost said I'm an alcoholic, but I'm not. No, I'm just me, really. I'm a lineman, German lineman, been doing it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky enough to be in Jess's life and the kid's life.
Fuck me, too. Thank you.
Yeah.
And me, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty much just a simple person.
You know,
I bust my ass and do what I gotta do for my family. I always put my family first, and then I really put God first and then my family, but you know.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Agreed. Praise
but
Jesus.
As far as me, like, that's it really. I like music. I like going hunting and fishing, which I don't do nearly enough, I don't think, but.
That's like a Luke Bryan. You live a Luke Bryan life, hunting, fishing, alone every day.
I'm more Waylon Jennings than Luke Bryan, but it's okay, whatever.
That's true. Now, I know you've been through a lot of things in your life that I feel like this would be a very good, important episode to have you on.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be a part of it. You know, I'm like always in the background, which I'm really happy in being because I just like being a part of it in any way I can. I support you guys a lot, but it's really cool to be on this side of the
You're like a very good backwoods cheerleader. Thank you.
Backwoods.
Appreciate it. I am definitely one of the girls.
You really are. You really are.
So with everything you've been through though in your life, like what does men's mental health actually mean to you?
I think it's almost like a topic nobody talks about. I think everybody, there's some times where people bring it up and they'll talk about it and then they'll just let it go. They're like, oh, well, we talked about it, and then they leave it at that. But that's not, like, there wasn't nothing to it. Like, you just had a conversation. Like, for instance, for you guys to bring me on and talk about mental health for men is something that I haven't seen. Because normally when you see a podcast or you hear somebody talk about it, it's women asking other women about men's mental health. And, yes, they might have a good understanding of, like, their idea of men's mental health, but they don't have a first person experience of knowing what it feels like to be a man and then the in and out battles we have on ourselves that you guys have on yourself too, but like ours is different just because we're men. Like, we're not supposed to say how we feel, you know, we're not supposed to open up about stuff, and then when we do we feel vulnerable, and then if we're not, like, then we feel stupid for bringing it up because it's not validated in our head to talk about our problems. We're supposed to just suck it up and keep moving, you know what I mean?
Which is so sad because I feel like there's a lot of people, like, women aren't the only ones, and this is what I would like to break, is that women aren't the only emotional creatures. Men go through their own things.
Absolutely,
like,
but I think they're taught you're a man, suck it up.
Right.
That's
suffer
what it comes
silence
down to.
Is basically what we're told our whole life. And what's crazy is not even that we're told that, it's like that's just what we see. You know what I mean? Like, we just see it, like, with our parents, with... Like, for me, I grew up under a bunch of old-timers. Like, my granddaddy raised me. You know what I mean? He was from the 30s. You know what I mean? So, like, when he was...
That's a huge thing, too.
He's tough. And now, he would validate my feelings, and he would ask how I was feeling, but I was his baby. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he wouldn't coddle me unless it was, like, a really big situation that was out of my hands. Like, something seriously happened, and it would be something. But other than that, it was, like, I wanted to be like him, and he was tough as nails. Like, tough as nails. So, like,
Did he ever show vulnerability to you?
Not until he was on his deathbed.
Hmm.
And that was it. And that was only because of the fact that, you know, my whole life I was there for him. If my granddaddy called me, I could be in the middle of anything, and I would drop and be right there with him.
Mm.
And it just, you know what I mean? I think when it came down to the end of his life, he knew that I was his son, basically. I mean, he forgot a lot of people towards the end of his life. He never forgot me or my grandma. That was it. That was it. He forgot everybody else. He never forgot me or my grandma.
Yeah. So... When your grandfather would ask you how you were or what you were feeling, was there any follow-up to that? Like, once you told him what the matter was, did he do anything to, like, resolve it or try to be there for you or talk you through it and give you advice? Or how did he handle that?
Yeah, I mean, normally, like, it was always over a sandwich that my grandma made and a peach drink. That was like our thing, and we would sit on the back porch, and then he would ask me, "Well, how's school going, or how's this going, or whatever." I was working by the time I was 7,
mm-hmm.
and
that's crazy.
You know, he would, and that was like almost a full time job. You know, and he would ask me about how I was doing or whatever, and he would always tell me he was proud of me. And then, like for instance, when my mom and dad divorced, like that was extremely hard for me. Because of the fact that, like, me and my dad were never close, so that plays into my mental health as well, I'm pretty sure. But
you got daddy issues.
Bad. Like, horrible. But, like, my grandpa would always step up, and I know that I was having a hard time, and I would never say anything but he could see it. And I remember sitting on the back porch, and my grandma made a Vienna sausage sandwiches. And we were eating that and drinking a peach drink after we did some workout on the property. And he asked me how I was dealing with it. And I was like, I really just don't know what to do. Like, I don't really know how to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to brush it off like I'm okay. And he wouldn't let me say I'm okay. Because he knew it was really hurting me. But, I mean, he would ask me. And then if I told him how I was doing, you know what I mean? He would ask me, like, all right, well, you know, I'm here for you no matter what, and you always have a home here. And that was his way of telling me, like, this is how I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to step up and be here, which he did my whole life, you know?
I think sometimes there's nothing really that you can say to make it better, but just comforting someone in that moment to say, yeah. I'm here. I love you no matter what.
Yeah, and he's a man. I mean, he grew up in the Great Depression. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't a man that went to counseling ever, I'm sure. He never. So,
and especially in that generation, like, that's not normal for them.
No, not at all. No. So let me ask you this, like, going off of what you're saying,
yes, ma'am.
And going from your grandfather to your father, because as you said, you had a bad relationship with him. Growing up, what message did you receive, like spoken or unspoken, about how boys and men are supposed to basically react or act to their feelings by your father?
My dad, my dad is the kind of guy who, I don't know, I have a theory, it's just because he's from Ohio, he's just from up north, you know what I mean, like, they're just different people up there, I guess, but he never showed love, ever, 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 and the only attention he would show me was bad attention, mm-hmm. So I would do things in order to get bad attention.
Negative attention is still attention.
Yeah, that's right, I wanted attention. I never felt safe enough to go talk to my dad about anything I had going on in my life, ever.
Was he just not receptive? Did he not listen? Did he, like, can you try to, like, paint a picture of, like, what it was like to talk to dad?
So, like, for instance, I'll tell you this. So, in high school, I was the oldest kid in my high school my senior year, right? I was 19 years old. And like, I already had a job. I had two jobs and trying to go to school and figure out my career for a firefighter. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a firefighter. And, you know, and that was to follow in his dad's footsteps. That wasn't even something I wanted to do at first. I was just like,
you're doing it to make him proud.
If I did something like my grandpa did, maybe he'd be proud of me. It's an honorable job. Mm. You know what I mean? And all these things. But like, say,
wait, so the grandfather that you grew up with, was that his dad?
No, or your mom's? My mom's dad. Oh, okay. I never met my dad's dad, only heard stories, but I always wanted to impress my dad.
Right.
But like, so I lost two friends in 2011, my senior year of high school. One I grew up with in Ocoee, where I'm from, and then later on with the school within Groveland, where I went to high school, him and his brother. My buddy Chad died, and then my buddy Talon died in the same accident, leaving the woods. And I was 19 years old, and I remember when it happened, like, the whole town was heartbroken over it, you know? But especially the school, and it was hard on me because I was supposed to be at the woods that night with them.
Oh.
So I get the whole, like, damn, I could have just not been a part, you know what I mean? I could have stopped it. I could have, you know, though, should have, would have, could have, whatever.
But also God was like, you're not meant to be there either.
Right. And I remember my dad wanted he needed a cigarette and he didn't have none, and I had a pack of them. I was 19 back then, it was legal.
Yeah.
And I offered him a cigarette and he looked me dead square in my eye. I knew that it was a day after they died, and I offered him one of my cigarettes, just threw in my cigarette pack, and he looked me dead in the eye and said, you ought to be in them casters, not them two boys. Because he was so upset that, damn, I was smoking a cigarette when I grew up with him smoking in the house. You know what I mean? So, like, he's not, he wasn't a very nice guy to me. And no matter what I did, I was never good enough. When I was at the fire department, you know, and I was doing my thing, It was, you know, I was never good enough. And then I tried doing ROTC, and I wanted to go and be in the Marine Corps and all that stuff. And I was in ROTC, told me I'd never make it, and I wasn't worth nothing, and all this other stuff. And it was bad. I remember walking to church down by the house on a Sunday morning by myself in one of his old suits.
Hmm.
And I was 14 years old. And I put one of his suits on and walked to the church house by myself. And then nobody else in my family went until like two Sundays later. Finally, my mom lit a fire up under everybody. But he wasn't the kind of guy you could go to and say, I have an issue with my heart, Dad. Like, I have something on my heart and I want to talk about it to you. You're my dad. You're supposed to be there. I've said that to him very many, multiple times, where I'm like, Dad, what am I supposed to do? Like, you're supposed to be here to help me in this moment, and you're not.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of years of suppression, learning to suppress your feelings.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
I get that. So with that suppression, how has that silence or suppression shown up in your life, like, nowadays?
Like, mentally, like, on myself, I feel like if I have a problem, I would, like, I go to, like, hit it head on. I'm like, because I'm the kind of guy, if we have an issue, no matter who it's with, like, if I have an issue, somebody's got an issue with me, like, bring it up, let's handle it, let's take care of it right now. I don't like it dragged out. I don't, you know what I mean? Because my brain will start making assumptions in my own head, and situations and scenarios, and I just don't need the stress. Mm-hmm. I have enough on my plate. I don't.
And
need
that's some
it.
Things that girls deal with too. Like, right. That's tough.
I think that's a human thing.
I agree, and I think that all the time they're like, "Oh, well, just women likes to overthink," but men do it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, men overthink more than I think you guys think.
I was just gonna say, I actually would agree with that. Yeah. I think that men actually seem to overthink more. They just don't talk about it.
Yeah, we don't.
Whereas women, we're more apt to be
vocal.
Like, "Let's communicate."
Yeah, you know, sure.
In that situation, so I feel like that's definitely a big part. Let me ask you this: what cycle or belief about masculinity are you actively trying to break that you were maybe or thought originally?
The stay quiet. The stay quiet is what I call it. The stay quiet, or the split heart theory in my, is how I call it that. I never heard anybody else. I make it up. But basically it's like this. I'll explain. So like, I call it split heart theory because, like, for instance, like, you know, when I'm at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm at work, I'm there to make money for us. Right? For y'all. I don't even, that's the whole thing. Like, men go to work to build a life for their family, not for themselves. Men do. Not boys, men. Boys go to work to build a life for themselves. Men go to work because they have a lot of things that they want for their family that they never had growing up. So when I go to work, I'm doing that for you guys. I'm doing it for the kids. I'm doing it for you. Because I want to build you guys a life that I get to be a part of that I never had. Especially when it comes to the kids. And then I want to love you more than you've ever been loved because you never had that. And I've never had that. Mm-hmm. So I want to give you something that I never had and something you never had, right? So, but like, if the split heart theory is like this, if I'm at work and I'm doing my job, right? Mm-hmm. And you know I've worked crazy hours, right? 14-hour shifts, 18-hour shifts, and drove 6 hours home. So, like, if I'm doing that, the whole time I'm at work, I'm thinking of you guys, right? But the whole time I'm at home, I'm thinking about what I need to do at work or what I could do at work to make more money or what I could do to be better, you know what I mean, at my job to hopefully get a raise or hopefully get more hours or do whatever I need to do. I'm present in the moment when I'm home. I'm very good at that. I separate my work and
you
my
are.
Home life.
That you are.
And that comes from my grandpa. My granddaddy told me when you take your work boots off at the end of the day, leave your work inside your work boots. Leave them outside. Don't bring them in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. They don't belong there. And that's something I always grew up with.
That's got to be hard to do because I feel like...
It's not.
It's... Can you explain how you do that?
So, like, for me, I know that you guys know this because you know me personally, but I'll say it for all the people listening. When it comes to me, in my mind, like, I spend enough time away from my family giving it to a company that would replace me the next day if something was to happen to me. Mm. Right? Mm. So, when I'm at home, I give everything I got to them because they deserve it. So I have a shorter period of time to give more than I give the company. So I don't even focus on...
That makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like, I just want to give them everything I've got. And I think that time's the most precious thing you can give anybody.
I agree with that. So let me just ask you, do you ever feel like you're more valued for what you do and what you can offer versus who you are?
No. And I'll tell you, like, beforehand, yeah, I will say I'll start from, like, years ago, yes. 10 years ago, 100%. If I didn't bring enough money home, or if I didn't give enough, or if I didn't buy enough of this, or I didn't give everything I've got for material items or food or whatever, or bills or whatever it was, yeah, absolutely, I believe that 100%. I was measured by what I could give, not what I could do, or who I was as a person.
Right.
But now, no. I definitely, you've shown me, and I think that's a big part of the mental health thing. Like, it's who you're with.
If you're
pouring your water into a strainer instead of into a cup that'll hold everything you've got.
That's right.
You are literally pouring yourself out for no purpose at all.
Absolutely.
And that same person that's like, yeah, I love you. And, you know, if you made more money, I'd do this. Or if you did this, or if you worked more, I'd do this. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the right person, brother. Like, you need to move on down the road, because I promise you, it took a lot of the wrong people for me to find the right one. But I know that, like, that's a big part of our mental health. It's like, when we're not with somebody who validates our struggle and our sacrifice and our, you know what I mean, all these things, like, and I'm not white collar, so I don't know. They probably have a lot of the same struggles.
I think they do. I honestly think they do, because I don't think that money, stature, what type of work you do, I don't think that has anything to do with the fact there's people out there. And believe me, like, the more that I see some of my patients who are, like, I just had one the other day. He owns a lot of real estate here in this area, and he owns, like, a couple different, like, fitness centers. Okay. And we were talking because he was super anxious, high strung, right? And he came in and we were talking, and he broke down, and he goes, I don't think that people talk about it enough, that, like, there's so much pressure on me to perform when all I just want to do is just be. See, it's literally everyone, and it's not talked about, and it's sad.
Yeah. I think it's just, like, I can speak for the blue collar boys. I've been a blue collar boy my whole life. My whole life. Like, repping it. But, you know, like, that's all I know. Mm-hmm. I'm not a very educated person when it comes on paper. I'm very intelligent when it comes to my craft and what I
you
do.
Are.
And what I could do with my hands, 100%. I could do anything with my hands. I know that. But, like, for blue-collar guys, I will say, like, a lot of us kind of just swallow it up and just deal with it. In my line of work, they tell you from the day you get hired as a groundman, right out the gate, leave your feelings at the house, leave them at the gate, check yourself before you walk in.
Check yourself before because you wreck yourself.
because there's no room for it. And that's beyond the house. Like, all of us grew up the same. All the blue collar boys, I promise you, you put 100 of them in a room and ask them about the relationship with their dad, 99.7% of them are going to tell you they didn't have one. Or their dad was a hard ass, or their dad just told them to suck it up and move on with their life. Because their dad was blue collar too.
And don't you think that, and we were talking about this earlier, don't you think that the generations honestly before us, and there's no disrespect to the generations before us, it's just how they grew up, right? I feel like this generation and the blue collar men in this generation are a little bit more apt to understand the feelings and what we're talking about in mental health because it's now talked about and we should be talking about it. But I feel like, yes, blue collar is what you do, right? And the old mindset of old men who do blue collar and they're so shut off and they're cold and they don't speak about anything. I do honestly feel like this generation of blue collar is a little bit better for their kids going forward.
Absolutely. And I was literally just going to ask how you felt like your mental health changed since becoming a father and like how you act towards your children in the return, knowing how you were treated,
right?
Especially to like the males.
Well, I will tell you, I go back to my dad. So I knew my whole life, I promised myself since I was a kid, I promised myself I would never be like my dad. Never be like my dad. So I knew that the day that I was going to be a dad, I knew that I was going to be different and I had to do it all from scratch. Other than what my granddaddy taught me, I had to do everything from scratch. So when my son Lane was born, I remember the day he was born, I laid there and I just looked at the little bassinet at the hospital and I could not take my eyes off of him. And I promised myself that moment. I said, buddy, I will be better to you than my dad was to me. And I promised him that the day he was born. And that's a promise between me, him, and God that he doesn't even know I made. You know what I mean? So, and I've done my very best. And I've never lied to my son. And, like, I basically did everything my dad didn't do, I did. And everything my dad do, I didn't do. So, I know that, like, you know, there was a night, I think it was a night after he was born. We were still at the hospital. You know, they keep you for a couple of days in the hospital. And he started to move around. And he started, like, to whine a little bit. And I went and picked him up. And I remember holding him in my hands and looking him dead square in the eye. And, like, we locked eyes. I know in real life, like, he couldn't see much. You know what I mean? But it was just this moment I felt in my soul. Like, me and him had this connection right away. And, like, I just know I couldn't do. Like, I don't understand the generation that I come up in, like, with my dad. Like, I could never treat my kids the way my dad treated me. I couldn't. I can't. There's just no way about it. So, I think that me being a father just made me realize that I now have a lot more responsibility. And I always made a point to basically say, you know, hey, Eric, you know, life was about you, but now you put a new life in this world that didn't ask to be here. It's no longer about you. It's about your kids. And then when I got with Jess, I was like, my life is definitely not about me anymore. And it's not just about my kids. It's about Jess and her kids and our kids together. And, like, it's about my family. And that's the way it's always been. That's the way it's going to be. And I'm one of those kind of guys, I guess, that just I lock in on my morals and I stand strong on what I believe and I don't let myself waver. But I can't let them down. That's the other thing, you know.
I agree with that, but I don't think you'd let them down.
No,
I know, but I'm just saying, like, in my mind, like, in a man's mind, any little minor inconvenience to anybody else is like nothing, right? It's like, oh, no problem, babe, don't worry about it, we'll figure it out, right? Oh, it's no big deal, we'll get through it together, right? And that makes us feel really good. Boys, get you one like that. That's a good sign that you're with the right one. If they look at you and say, baby, don't worry about it. We're just going to eat Taco Bell tonight or something, you know? Like, don't get mad. Be like, all right, cool, because that's the right one. If you get one who's like, I can't believe, like, you were sick the other day and didn't go to work. Like, that's not the right one. Anyhow,
Anyhow.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, that's really important. But, like, I'm with the right one. And, like, me and you, we work stuff out together, and it's good to go, right? But to you, it's a minor inconvenience.
It's not even an inconvenience.
Right. See? But to us, we have to always perform at 100%.
Right.
And if we drop to 99.999%, we have failed. Instantly failed.
You know what I think, Ken? Let me touch on this, okay? Because I feel like at the basis, you have to be with a partner who also equally wants the same goal and idea that you do, right?
Yeah.
So your goal together is to maintain a stable household, to raise the kids, to make sure that they are taken care of, your spouse is taken care of, each other is taken care of, right? And I feel like you finding someone who matches that with you. The problem comes is when there is one person taking on the responsibility, whether it's male or female, right? Whether there's one person taking on that responsibility of the whole household and the other one's not contributing. The fact that you both do what it takes to contribute to a household and make it work is what makes you guys' relationship matter.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you have to find someone in that to help with that mental health, because if you're going through things, you want that partner who's going to be listening to you and also be that partner to you and not a burden to you.
Right. And I think another thing that helps me personally, I would just say, like, our life can be hell sometimes. Like, there's so many things, like, that could pop up left and right, like, out of
nowhere. Our life is like Murphy's Law.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, but, like, no matter what, like, I will tell you, and this is one thing I will say about you, babe, is that no matter how bad life has gotten, I have always known that you were the right one. And the fact that we have never fought or argued or blamed each other or let each other blame ourselves or anything, like, I want to say thank you for that, because that helped my mental health. Because there's times where I will spiral in my head and you won't even know it, because I don't want you to know it, because that's not your battle, right? That's something I'm doing to myself. But that's something that you changed about me too. Like, you'll be like, babe.
That's why I literally have it tattooed on my arm. It says, "Your battle is my battle."
Right.
Really, it's literally tattooed on my fucking arm. You know what I mean? Yeah. For that reason, because when you're in a relationship, I feel like it's so important, especially, and for both parts of the emotional health on both sides in any relationship. You know what I mean? You have to feel safe. You have to be able to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to know that no matter what you're going to with them, that they should be able to handle it with openness understanding. Because it's a lot of times the problems come in relationships is that lack of communication, but also the comprehension of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. I mean, if you're just if one person just one-sidedly communicating, the other person's not comprehending what you're saying,
right?
Nothing changes.
That's no, right.
Yeah. And that's like I tell you all the time, like, I'll meet you on your worst day. Like, I don't care. I will meet you wherever you are on your worst day. And I will meet you right there, and I will carry the weight. You do the same thing with me. No matter what, even if I try to carry my weight, if I try to just carry it on and not say anything, even though I'm having a bad day, you will always say, babe, you need to, like, talk to me. Like, we have to figure this out.
And you have a part in that, too, because I feel like it's very, you know, through her love and her showing you what you need and deserve has also flourished you into becoming more mentally healthier, right? Yeah. You also have very good communication skills, which a lot of people, and that's what I want to talk about.
Sometimes I think I over communicate.
No, I'd rather you over communicate than under communicate.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's so many times where you don't meet a man who communicates their feelings and what they need.
And yeah, but I think that, I'm sorry.
You're good.
But I think that sometimes that has to do with who you're with and
right.
Individual men. Like, there's men I know right now that are 100% the opposite, where they're just like, you know, I'm not going to be on Live 360. I'm not going to do on this. I'm not.
No, I've been with them.
I'm just saying, like, the day I got with Jess, the day I came home, she's boom, there's my location, baby. I sent her a text with my password to my bank account, to all my social media.
Not that I asked for anything. No, I just want to point that out.
No, she didn't ask for anything, but I'm just saying, and that, you know what I mean? That wasn't even the day I got home, but I'm just saying, like, immediately, like, I knew, because my heart found peace, my mind found quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that this is it. This is my person. Like, why wouldn't I give her everything? That's the problem. You got a lot of guys who, they've been on their high horse. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the man. You know what I mean? Like, so what? Who cares? You know what I mean? Like, who cares if you're the man, dude? Like, you're never going to get anywhere with anybody if you don't let somebody step in and be with you. You're not. You can't carry it by yourself, brother. You can't do it. I promise. Not forever.
Right.
Not forever. I guarantee. I've seen the biggest, toughest guys I've ever met crumble over not having somebody to bounce stuff off of or go through life hand in hand with. I promise you.
Which, and I agree, but I also feel that you need to be strong on your own.
100%.
I actually want to step in for a second and ask a question, because even though, yes, me and you have what we have, right? There's a lot of men in this world that don't have someone. And even though, great, yes, it would be nice for them to find a person that they can rely on, there's, in the reality of it, not a lot of people that have that, okay? So with that being said, I want to go back to, like, pre-us, okay? Like, when you and your ex-wife split.
The dark ages, right?
Like, because that falls into your mental health. You went through the darkest times during that period of time, for right? Sure. So I want to know, like, what were you feeling in those moments? What helped you out of it? What steps did you start taking? And when did you realize, like, I need to be able to not just rely on shutting down and just saying I'm fine and actually learn to deal with your emotions before me?
Well, I'll start with how I felt in the beginning. So when it first happened, I was like, yeah, I'm free, blah, 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 whatever, right? No, I just got out of a really horrible situation, and I was glad to be out of it. And I was like, I can be myself. I can do what I want. I'm myself, you know? It's very short-lived. And then it goes from that to you just hanging out with all your friends. I don't have anything waiting on them at home. And then all they want to do is go drink at bars and do dumb stuff. And then you start going to bars and drinking and hanging out and all this stuff. And you try to find peace in the, you know, in the bottom of a bottle. Or you try to find peace at a bar. Or you try to find peace doing whatever. You never find it. You know where I honestly broke down and I realized I can't keep doing this and I really need to find myself was when I was living out of my pickup truck. And I remember laying in the back seat of my truck in the middle of a sugarcane field, broke, alone, scared, tired, didn't know what tomorrow held. I didn't care if I lived or not. I didn't care. Like, I really didn't. I knew that I wasn't going to be able to see my kids in my mind because they're going to do everything they can to keep my kids from me. And I knew that it would hold up because, unfortunately, that's just the way the justice system works towards fathers sometimes. So
That's true. I'm speaking facts.
And I remember laying in the back seat of my pickup truck. I will never forget this. And this is actually something you're going to find out right now that I've never told you, but you're a part of this, and I'll explain. So I was scrolling through pictures of my kids and videos of my kids, and I literally just started losing it, bawling like I've never cried in my entire life. I mean, every emotion of sad and anger hit at one time. And I was by myself in a cane field, nobody around. If I wanted to end it all, I could have done it right there, and not a single soul out there to stop me. They couldn't hear me scream, cry, nothing. I got out of my truck. I started punching my truck. I started screaming at the sky, everything. And I ended up, for some dumb reason, I took a picture of, not for a dumb reason, I took a picture of my face while I was bawling. I took a picture of my face and I sent it to my dad. And I said, this is when I need you. And I never got a text back. So at that point, I started praying. And I prayed a lot. A whole lot. And the only thing I had to cling to was God. That was it. That's the only dad I had. My grandfather's been dead. My dad didn't never answer my text, my calls, nothing. So God was literally it. And
Dude, in my darkest, that's who I turn to.
And I don't care. Listen, best. I'm not here to preach. I'm here to talk about men's mental health. But I will tell you this, boys. If y'all are listening to this and you get to a point where you think that your problems are going to be solved by going and drinking or sticking your wick in something that you ain't supposed to, it's never.
Jesus Christ,
just saying. It's not ever going to fix it. You know, like, excuse me. Like, my grandma told me ever since I was a kid, a man stands tallest when he's on his knees, and he looks highest when he's got his head bowed.
Oof.
Because I'm telling you right now, I don't care who you are or what you believe or what you don't believe. At some point, if you're going to make it through this, you're got to rely on him, period.
Ain't that right? Him with a capital H.
That's it. That's, I mean.
Amen.
And from that point.
Episode was, over.
No. But that's, from that point, that's where I said, you know what? Like, all right. I've broke myself down. I've done everything I need to do. I'm tired of crying, tired of drinking. I was a raging alcoholic.
That's crazy to think.
I drank all the time. I smoked cigarettes. I dipped. I didn't care. I never slept. I didn't eat. I was on testosterone. Mm. I was abusing steroids. Like, all these things. Trying to find happiness.
Literally trying to wreck your body.
But I didn't care. But I got to a point where I got to then, I was like, okay, rock bottom does have a basement. So I'm there. So now I've got to climb up out the basement and I need to figure it out. And I started
focusing. Can I ask a question before? Hold on. Yeah. Let me interject real quick. No, yeah. When you were feeling all those emotions, the sadness, the anger, like what was flashing through your head? Was it that you felt inadequate? Was it that you felt not enough? Like what were you like?
All of that.
Is it from like childhood that was coming up, like the inadequacy and just boiling over into your relationships and not?
Basically, I got the, oh, everybody was right about you, Eric. And this is me talking to myself. Mm. Everybody was right about you. Your ex-wife's right about you. Your son's mom's right about you. Your dad was right about you the whole time. Your grandpa was just trying to be nice. He wasn't even telling you the truth. Like, you ain't worth nothing. This is why you're where you are. This is where you belong, in the back of a truck in a cane field. Oh, 100%. God. There was no validation on myself for myself at that point at all. Mm. At all.
That's 100% that would explain why you cried as much as you did and punched a truck.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But, you know, that's what it boiled down to. And I just started saying, you know, I know that God wouldn't create me and put me in life and bless me with beautiful children and give me a chance on earth if it didn't mean something. So that's, I need to focus on what I'm doing.
That's right.
I need to stand up tall. I need to rely on him and let him in it. And honestly, that's where I was just like, man, look, you done wrote the book, brother. So I'm just going to give you the pen. I'm going to start reading it instead of trying to write my own. You know, you can't write your own life. My granddad used to say all the time, you want to hear God laugh? Tell him your plans.
Is that the truth?
He'll laugh. So true. I promise you. Guarantee it.
This is making me teary-eyed because it's so true. Do you know how many people feel that? And I really wish that a lot more men and, well, I mean, people in general would just understand that, like, there's no... When you think that there is a plan and that plan doesn't work out and you get to that rock bottom with the basement and there is no way out that you see, so many people just want to give up, and that is the point where you just keep going.
I agree.
Yep. And I think that's where a lot of men get to the point where, you know, we're the number one killer of men's suicide, 100%.
It's when I learned in nursing school, like statistical fact.
100%.
I think a lot of it comes down to the support group, the support circle of itself. Like for women, you know what I mean? We say we're having a rough day and we write in our little group chat with all our friends and they're like, oh my God, what's going on? Talk to me. Tell me.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yes.
I need to know all the details. Let me help you through it. Right. But if a man was to text like the same thing into his group chat, they're going to be like, you good, bro? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I think that's like truly the hardest part of the whole situation.
Yeah, and I mean, especially in my, you know, my group now, like, I got some dudes I actually care, but, I mean, even then, I'm not going to go talk to them about anything. You know what I'm saying? Like,
which is sad. Why?
I'm not. Like,
right, this is what we need to talk about.
Right, and I will tell you, so, for me, and I'm not saying I won't talk about anything, but there is something, so, I have a rule, okay? Jess is my queen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but you're going off of us, and that again.
I'm not.
You are, because you're going to say that you believe in a relationship, that you talk to your partner about your stuff, right? But that's great. But we're also talking about people that don't have that,
right?
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. So, what I was saying was like, okay, you're my queen, right? I'm the king of the castle.
Sure.
Right. What happens in my castle stays in my castle, right? Anything that doesn't happen in my castle, then I can talk to somebody else about. Meaning, like, if I have a problem, like mentally, I can go talk to my boys at work about it if it has nothing to do with anything that's going on in my house, right? That's how all men think, to have a house.
But that's the problem.
Right.
That's a major issue. 100%. Because what would actually change if men created the same emotional circle that women create with their friends?
Right.
Don't you think that Jessica has heard all of my relation?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I just fucking sneezed out of nowhere. It just like grew out of me. Oof.
That literally was like exercised out of you. Good Lord.
God bless you.
Man, I'm sorry.
But no, so here's my thing. Like, do you know how many times Jessica literally has heard all of my relational issues? Mm-hmm. I didn't keep anything inside of my quote unquote castle.
Right.
Right. But that's also where a lot of my problems and my issues got solved, especially if I'm living with someone and I am in a relationship. I do need to go to someone that I'm close with to go, listen, I'm feeling some type of way. And 9 times out of 10, she was talking me off of my ledge and going, you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like that's important. And a lot of people and a lot of men, I feel like, don't get nitty gritty with their friends about those things. What? And there it is. Why not?
We don't. It's just because this is the thing, right? Yes, men are like, yeah, I got my boys. These are my boys. These are my boys, right? But in the back of all of our heads, we've all had boys that never really showed up. We all have boys that, you know, like, it's a vulnerability that we don't want our friends to see.
Well, that's where the problem's coming in. Because, 100%. See, as women, we have the same thing. We have a lot of women that we think are our friends, and they don't end up showing up, and they show their true colors. They're not who they really say they are, and that happens all the fucking time.
I was vulnerable with every single one of them.
Right, but in the same aspect, like, at some point, you have to be vulnerable. You know what I mean? Like, and I think here's where a lot of the problem comes in. Yes, I agree with you on the aspect. Like, if you have problems in your relationship, you firsthand should be working that out with your partner, right?
Period. Okay,
100%, hands down. But... In that flip side of it, if you've already talked to your partner about something 2 or 3 times, right, and nothing has changed, and you're going to your friends, right, and going, listen, I just need an outside perspective. Am I doing something wrong? Am I the one that's in the wrong? Am I looking at this the wrong way? Mm-hmm. And hearing it from another person can sometimes help when there is constant issues in your relationship. I think there's where the difference comes in. And I think that's where men also struggle as well. And again, I believe that relationships should stay, like, relationship problems should stay in the relationship, and you should try to figure it out and talk to your person first. Right. You never go, like, I would never go to Valerie or to Liz or anybody, like, if I hadn't already talked to you about it.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be something, like, and not that we ever have problems like that, but if we were to ever, like, of course I would first come to you. But with that being said, there's going to be a time where, if things are just, we're going in circles and we're both closed off to what's going on and we're not communicating it properly, and I'm going to go to them and go, what am I doing wrong and how can I come to an understanding or a conclusion on this where either I realize I'm in the wrong, or to be able to communicate it from a different aspect that they may understand better.
Yeah. So the difference between men and women, though, is that we have trust issues with our friends because we're all men. Give me a second on this. So in our mind, this is a completely made up situation. I'm not saying it's true in any way. I'm saying in our mind, if I'm like, hey man, I gotta talk to you. I've been talking to my wife over and over about the same thing and I can't figure out what's going on. But that guy somehow, some way has some kind of kind of affection towards you or any man's other part anyway, you know? Like, we don't, so it comes down to this. Men, not boys, deep inside, the reason we work so hard and do everything we can is because we don't want to lose you. We are more afraid of losing you than you are losing us, I promise you, a million times over. I promise you. You know why? Because women are strong as hell and they're independent and they can survive, right? Men, we act tough. We act. It's an act. I promise you. I don't care. But I know, like, I would never give a way in for somebody else, right? So I'm not going to go to my friend and be like, hey man, you know, I'm having problems at home with this and that, because I don't want them to prey on that in order to better themselves. We have trust issues. Like, men have trust issues with other men. It's an alpha male thing. Like, every male wants to be an alpha male. Me personally, don't care, but 99.9% of them, they want to be the alpha male. And I'm not
going to... So they won't speak on their relationships based on that alone?
No.
Really?
No. No. Because we don't... First off, it's going to be biased regardless, right? Because if they are a true friend and you're like, man, like, am I doing anything wrong? They're going to say, no, brother, you ain't. If they're a true friend, right? No, you're
not a true friend. That's right. Just a friend. A true friend's going to be like, yeah, you fucking up.
You know what I mean, though? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be like, yeah, you know, you could be more tentative. Like, you know, you could do other things. Guys don't say that crap. Like, we just don't. I'm different.
Can you please do that? Because that would make us feel a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. Like, it comes down to this. We have a saying in my line of work. Be your brother's keeper, right? 100%. Be your brother's keeper. Keep your brother in check. That's for your physical health, not your mental health. I've been in a bucket holding lightning in my hands, knowing full and well I should have stayed home that day. But I didn't. I couldn't. Not a single person. They knew it. I was in the same bucket with homeboy with tears in my eyes. Didn't say a word. All right, brother, let's come up on a couple clicks. 1,000,000%. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is.
That's fucking crazy to
me. Yeah.
That is crazy to me.
Because if I was at work and I seen like a female or a male, like emotionally, like you could tell that they were fucked up, I'm going to be the first one to be like, hey, are you okay? Do you need someone to talk to?
I have a prime example of this. One of my really good friends named Chris worked on the co-op with me in Fort Myers. Okay. Mm-hmm. He went to Afghanistan, came back really messed up mentally, right? Came back mentally messed up from Afghanistan.
Oh, from Afghanistan.
So he got in a line work. It's pretty much like the military. You know what I mean? Same, you know, amount of danger anyway. I'm military. And I'm taking away from you guys are awesome. I appreciate you. But, you know, when it comes to like the brotherhood and all this, right? Mm-hmm. It's a fake facade, but whatever. So he came in on a Sunday. He was having a bad time. Doctor put him on a different medicine. He came in on a Sunday, stole a bucket truck out of the yard, went into a field. Started doing donuts in a field, boomed up on 14.4, which is 14,400 volts per phase. He was wearing flip-flops, a pair of shorts, and a t-shirt. He boomed up there and grabbed a bare hand, both phases, 28,800 volts raced through his body instantaneously. And it killed fried himself? Him. Fried him like bacon. He did it twice and survived. But when he came to the yard after he got out of the hospital about 8 months later, he came to the yard. He was not himself anymore. And they asked him, why did you do it? Why did you do it? Why did you do it, right? And he said, because I didn't feel comfortable letting you know that I had to take medicine in order to keep my brain safe.
Oh, my God.
You see what I'm saying? We ask why after the fact. We didn't ask, hey, are you good, dude? We all knew he had problems.
No one said anything.
Nobody until it was too late. And then,
see, I think it needs to be more normalized. Yep. Like, we 100%. Need to be normalizing asking people, are you really okay? And not that, just the I'm fine answer. Like, are you truly okay?
And realistically, we need to be prepared for the answer that's not okay.
Right.
Yeah. And men, you guys need to be prepared to give the hey, I'm not okay. I need help. Even if you don't.
It doesn't make you weak.
No. You need to speak up because I'm going to tell you right now, like, if I hadn't have spoke up and if I hadn't have like even reached out to people that I didn't know were going to be there for me or not, I wouldn't be here right now. Period.
I'm glad you spoke up.
You need to speak up.
What do you do in that instance if someone comes to you and says, I'm not okay? What do you do?
Personally, I mean, I drop everything. I don't care.
You listen?
Hell yeah. Without bias, without judgment.
What?
I give them a safe space to talk, man to man. And I say, hey, man, listen, if it was me, you know, I would do this. Or, hey, do you want to go fishing? Do you want to go do something together? You know what I mean? Like being there with them in person or speaking with them nightly. All my friends know. They can call me 24 hours a day. I'll answer the phone. You can ask anybody. And I promise you, I don't care what it is. I'll talk you through it. If I can't, I will show up.
I just watched you do it a couple weeks ago.
I'll be there.
A week ago.
Be there.
That's true.
That's because I'm tired of, like, seeing people lose, you know what I mean, their self and not have anybody. It's a crappy feeling. I've been there. I don't want anybody to feel that. That's really what it comes down to.
I think having someone just to listen to you in that aspect, like, I'm very blessed to have you guys, like, on the worst days. Because I feel like just sometimes talking it through is enough to talk you off that ledge. Yeah. And when it's not, that's when you talk it through. You have your help, but that's when you seek therapy.
Right.
I even think with that, not to cut you off, but I think with that, like, one of, like, the biggest tools is even if you don't have like a relationship partner to do that with, is finding one person in your life that you know that you can talk to, yep. mm-hmm. like without any judgment, and actually start calling and actually relying on that one person to just talk out your feelings and understand your feelings mm-hmm. and yep. finding that one safe space. And yeah, if you and don't if you, have that, then go to therapy.
And you know if you mean? Become like, that person to somebody, you got to stay that person to somebody. You can't be that person to somebody until you're tired of hearing about it, and then not being that person to somebody, because that right there will wreck them, because they'll feel like, I had somebody here finally that I can just and listen. You don't have to talk back. If someone calls you and is going through something, like man to man, like they're letting you in, that's not something men do. So if mm-hmm. a man's calling another one of their buddies or is calling anybody to open up about their mental health, you don't have to say anything. Just listen. Yeah. That's all we want to do is be heard yep. because we don't speak up. You know what we do? We work it out. We outwork ourselves. We try to outwork our demons. We try to outdrink our demons. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to fix anything.
You know, and I hate to say it. Like, I hate to keep bringing it up, but I will again. There's a lot of people who ask why I still talk to Brian. That's why. I am that person for him.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to quit on someone like that because I started being that person.
Well, you can't.
I can't.
I think what it comes down to, like, truly also as well, as if I'm looking at, like, the bigger picture of this, because I know that we were talking about doing an episode based off of, like, when healing isn't the goal, mm-hmm. right? But I feel like that's such a big part of men's mental health in that aspect, because yeah. I feel like it's mostly men that choose not to heal.
Yeah.
Because they look at, like, pain is one of the comfort. Things they can rely on. yeah. yeah. It's something that's normal. They know it's stable because yep. it's going to be there. They know how to handle it. Right. And then it falls down to then they will take the pain and find something like alcohol or mm-hmm. or drugs or anything, or overworking themselves mm-hmm. or burning themselves out or yep. isolating or doing whatever.
Doom scrolling.
To feel the pain, because it's a way of them punishing themselves for not feeling good enough.
Yep. And that's why, like, I had to check myself many a times, because there's times where I'll be at work and I have a very manly job, you know? And then, like, you get these guys.
Manly.
Well, I'm just saying, you get these guys who are like, yeah, man, I'm going to go home. I'm going to play my video games for a few hours when I get home. And, you know, when I was younger and I didn't really go through anything too terribly bad, you know? Like, I was like, dude, you play video games, bro? Like, you're 42. Like, what are you doing playing video games? Mm-hmm. But then I realized, like, everybody has to have something.
Has to have an outlet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I felt horrible. And now that I've grown and I've been through some things, I haven't been through everything everybody else has, but, like, I've been through a ton of crap. And now I realize, like, you know, you have to have something, because I'm going to tell you, you can't. Like, I, and you're right, babe.
It's a dissociation. Too. Yeah. Like, when you go through,
you need to check out.
Absolutely. That's yeah. absolutely. It's bring yourself from this reality into non-fiction or fictional reality. Yep. You know what I mean? Bring yep. yourself into a different world.
Yep. And it'll come down to, like, the number one thing for me personally, the way I deal with things is, like, I give it all I have at work, right? So if I'm going through something mentally that I bring upon myself, as far as, like, if I'm not feeling like I'm enough, not because you're not showing me, but just because I have a lot of self-doubt. Self-doubt is a big thing in men.
In comparison that's every man that
kill,
I talk. Yes, man.
Will kill everybody's mental health. But yep. for a man, you're like, damn, you know, like, I just don't feel good enough. I don't feel like I'm doing enough. I'm never doing enough. I could work more. Why am I not doing this? Why am I not doing that? Why can't I make more money? Whatever the case is, like, I go to work, right? And I just give it hell mm-hmm. the whole time. You can only do that so long until your body starts giving out.
Absolutely.
And you got to suck it up.
Absolutely.
I got in my accident in the hospital. I was still at the hospital. I called my boss. What did I say, babe?
I'll be at work tomorrow.
See you in the morning. I couldn't even move my arm. I couldn't even barely breathe. And I was like, I'm coming to work tomorrow.
He's like, no, you're not.
Right. Right.
But that's where men's minds stay.
It's sad, because there's got to be a point that you just go, okay, you need to take care of yourself and allow the people who love and care for you to do the same for you.
Absolutely. I think real strength in a man is choosing to heal, not trying to force everything down and keep moving yeah. forward.
Mm-hmm. And that's something I think that personally, I think that's something that a good partner will do for you, because you can't go through this by yourself. No. Humans aren't meant to be alone. They're just not.
No, they're not.
They're not.
But until you find that.
Right. You don't need to be settling either. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, for me, you know, I feel like if you had somebody, even a best friend to rely on, I think would help you out.
Yeah. I agree.
Doing the one person rule, finding one person you can be
100%
honest with. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because especially in, like, struggling with vulnerability, talking to multiple people makes you feel more vulnerable because you're sharing your feelings. But if
it
you
almost
can
makes
find
you
the
feel
one
ugh person, when you go to too many people.
Right. So if you just focus on one person that you can trust, whether it be a family member, a friend, a coworker, a spouse, whatever it is, and you find that one person that you can be truly 100% open and honest with, you're only being vulnerable with one person, and it's not as hard.
That's what I mean? Agreed. I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that.
And learning the courage of speaking up even when it's awkward is okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's so awkward. I mean, like, this is just, it's not...
It's uncomfy.
It is. It's not something that people want to talk about all the time. Because here's my thing. I think a lot of people go through life of going, okay, well, I don't want to be negative and I don't want to ruin their mood. I hear that all the time. I hear that all the time.
That's a big part of it.
It is. Like, I don't want to be negative if you're in a good mood. But sometimes if you need to talk it out, please just talk it out.
Yeah.
I'm also big on, like, don't always... And this is me not being cold, because I've also been there too. This is me just being real. I want you to feel it, go through it, but I also want you to do something about it to heal it.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree with that. And I think for men, the hardest part that I've noticed, at least maybe with the men that I've been around in my life, I notice a lot of them struggle to open up right off the bat, right? Yeah. Like, they need time to process what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm a big person of, like, move first, talk later. You know what I mean? Like, if you need to go to the gym and, like, just, like, stress it out a little bit, you know what I mean? Yep. Or get on your video game, or go for a walk, or go play basketball, or whatever, go fishing, go hunting, do whatever you need to do for a second to take the time to put yourself in your own mindset to, like, be alone and actually focus on what's going on in your mind so that you can come together with someone to actually have a communicative conversation where you can actually get your points across and express what exactly you're feeling in any way, shape, or form. Yep.
That's so important. Absolutely.
Yep. And I think a big thing too is, like, men, like, I've been told this all my life, and I'm big on this. Don't tell me about a problem if you don't have a solution. So,
yes, hold on though.
Because then that goes back to not communicating.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm not big on that itself.
Oh, you're not big.
No. I'm saying that I'm big on that not being a healthy thing. Because if I come to you with one of my problems, you're not going to have a solution because it's my problem.
And not just that, if you're coming to someone with a problem, obviously you don't have a solution yet because it's still a problem.
Right, but men don't understand that. They don't.
See, this is why, no matter what it is, like, relationship, friend, I don't care, family, like, this is why you need to have someone to go, listen, I'm here to listen.
Yeah, men just think it's pointless talking. Like,
it's not.
Right. Just telling you what we feel.
No, I know. I get it.
And I know, as women, like, we can sit and throw around, like, all these, like, different tools of, like, things we do for ourselves, like daily affirmations, or, like, talk reparenting ourselves, or doing all those different things. And I think it's harder for men, because most men aren't going to stand. There are the few that do, but there's not a lot that are going to stand for the mirror and be like, I am strong, I am handsome, I'm great, I'm all those things. But I think, like, another way to flip that is just maybe taking, like, a 5-minute, like, mental check-in with yourself of asking your self questions, like,
what do I need?
What am I feeling right now?
Mm-hmm.
The important one would be, like, do I need to do anything about it, or do I just need to notice that it's there? So this way you can start actually focusing on it, because I think one of the biggest parts of that is your emotional awareness to what you're feeling.
Absolutely.
To help you get through those feelings.
Right.
And it's so, I feel like, hard to decipher what exactly it is that you're feeling sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes you just need to just, like, observe it and then name it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, where am I feeling this? Like, when I get anxious, like, I know I feel it in my throat, or I feel it in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
When I get sad, it's like a gut thing. Or if I get angry, it's in my head. Like, there's certain parts of the body, and I know it sounds fucking weird, but there's certain parts of me that I feel that. And I feel like, and a lot of men, and that's, like, another thing too, like, that I real quick want to touch on, is that a lot of men just go, I don't want to talk about it, it's fine, and then bypass it, right? Yeah. Like, we're sitting here going, okay, but where are you feeling that? And guys are like, I don't need to know where the fuck I'm feeling my pain.
Yeah, but there's some times where we really don't
want
to talk about it at that point in time. And that's the thing too, where it's like, do we need to talk about it? Absolutely we need to talk about it, without a doubt. Do we need to talk about it that moment? Probably not, because we don't know how to explain what we're really feeling at that time. We need time in order to figure it out and then go, okay, I need to talk about it now.
It's understandable.
And just as women, we need our own time to like fill up our own cup of like finding our own hobbies, the things that we enjoy to like build ourselves back up. I think that's so important for men too, is taking like a few minutes out for yourself each day. You know what I mean? Doing your own emotional health checkup on yourself of going, I'm going to do something for me that makes me happy, that makes me feel fulfilled and feel rewarded in that moment. That's outside of work.
Right.
Because work is not really fulfilling and rewarding at all times. It's emotionally draining. Yes, it may be financially fulfilling, but it's not emotionally fulfilling.
Right.
And it's like a very big thing of like it's a double-edged sword, really, because, you know, like, for instance, like, I love line work, right? I did. Like, I'm a lineman. I did. You know what I mean? But it gets to a point where you're just like, dude, I'm so tired. My body is so worn out. But you can't quit, because the only way out is to stay in it. You know what I mean? So
that's how I feel about nursing. I really do.
It's just the way it is, but you got to just keep kicking. You know what I mean?
And it's exhausting.
It's a big thing, I think, having somebody in your corner. And
agreed.
And not being humble, I think, is a big thing for men that they need to start focusing on.
And learning how to ask for help.
Yes. If you're humble enough to say, look, you know, humble in yourself and honest in yourself will get you a lot farther. Because if you're humble enough to know, like, I'm not okay, and you're honest enough to say, like, I need help, here's where I went wrong, I just need to figure out how to make things right, and you have, that's being strong. That's having balls. In order to walk up to somebody and say, here's all my faults, I just need to know where I stand in anybody's situation in their head. Like, what do I need to do? Like, help me.
That's so much more attractive than someone going, like,
I'm good.
False, yeah. Like, yeah. False security.
But I think that comes from people judging them from their past. Like, saying, like, I need help. You know what I mean? And that other person being like, for what? You're a dude. Yeah. Suck it up, brother.
Yeah, but they have to realize, like, asking for help is not a weakness. It's a responsibility.
That's absolutely a strength.
It is.
100%.
It is. And I can understand the judgment, because I've met some people where I can, you know, given the situation that I used to be in with Brian and telling them, you know, what I was doing for him, I had so many people go, I don't know why you're doing that. You need to walk away, X, Y, and Z. But I'm like, at the core of that, like, that's one of my best friends. Like, yeah. Even though we didn't work out, like, he had some shit going on and I walked him through it.
Yeah.
And I can understand where that trust comes in of people going on, well, you don't need to be doing that.
Right.
Find your people.
Yep.
That's what it boils down to, really, because it's not, you're not going to find, you know, the type of support system in friends or family or relationships in everyone. You have to find your people.
I agree.
Yep. And I think you got to find yourself too. If you don't find yourself, then you're not going to be able to find anything else. Because if you don't know who you are, where you stand with yourself,
no one can tell you that.
If you don't value yourself as a man,
mm-hmm.
if you don't value yourself, you will never find peace, ever. That's coming from somebody that still struggles with finding value in myself, but I know I have value.
You know what I mean?
So, I mean, and it's not values of by what you do or what you can do or what you provide. That's not what makes a man.
No.
It's being there. You know, I always say, you know, time is the most valuable thing in the world. Time is a thief. Time is a lot of things, but you cannot get back time that you wasted. You can't. And I don't waste time. I hate wasting time, and you know that. So I think that men need to really start learning where they're putting their time and start putting it where it actually matters. And that's in themselves, to find the guts to say, I need some help.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Ditto. I really appreciate you having this conversation with us today.
I appreciate this being on here. I appreciate y'all bringing it up, because, like, I really think that it's something that needs to be talked about more, because and like I said in the beginning, like, being talked about from people who are actually living the situation, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
No shade on anybody just talking about it, but if you don't have someone that's living it, you have no idea.
You can talk to us.
Yeah.
You can listen to us. Go, yeah, no, I relate. I totally get it.
Y'all boys, send some emails in. I want to hear what y'all think.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we can always bring you on for another episode if we can get some questions that come in. And so any men out there that, or even females that may have questions about this kind of stuff when it comes to mental health, especially for men. If you have any questions, please send us an email at unhingedmemoirs@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
DM any one of us, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever you feel like. We will be on there.
Yes, and we are on all major platforms.
And also, I'd just like to add in, there's a men's mental health crisis hotline. excuse me. Don't be afraid to reach out. The number is 888-828-6539. If you guys have any situations that you need to talk to somebody, please reach out.
And if that don't work, you know, you can always reach out to us. We're always down to listen and talk through anything. So
100%.
We are here.
I know you just hear our voices, but legit, like, we're real people. We will respond to you.
Absolutely.
They really
we're do. Not just AI.
Nope. No AI for us.
We're not just AI.
Well, until next time, it was a pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.